Hello, Bomber fans. Welcome to the footy panel. And we're going to talk about a big game against Collingwood. We're going to dissect it, lost to Brisbane. First of all, Scotty, let's address the elephant in the room. We've had our own Amber Sherlock moment here.
Nice jumper,
you
Jules.
You didn't get my email about the grey jumper.
No, I didn't get your photo of what you were wearing today. So we look the same, but it's good.
That's right. We both look pretty good. Yeah. So we'll move on. We're going to talk about the Collingwood game because it's a massive game coming up. But yeah. We have to talk about deja vu all over again on Sunday.
Briefly, Jules. We'll skim over it.
It's seen a bit different this week, though, where against Sydney we had the ball and didn't control it.
Yeah.
That last quarter,
couldn't get the footy. No, it was interesting. Look, I thought it's funny. When you're 27 points up, well, you should close it out. But even to get to that point, there are aspects of the game that the boys didn't do well. I thought the forward pressure was lacking. And they were able to get the ball out of their back 50 into their forward 50 far too easily. I mean, scoring chains is the word they use, but they just went coast to coast too often. So I think the defenders just got sucked up the ground, probably needed to hold their position better. Now, that's not the reason in the end that they lost, but I mean, it just contributed to a pretty flat second and third quarter. Should have converted better early.
Yep.
But it was an interesting weekend, and if you want to take it something out of it a bit different, I thought it was the weekend where sports science got in the way of footy.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, we saw it with the Giants.
We saw it with the Giants, and I happened to be sitting quite close to the interchange bench. So I apologise to sports science in advance, but I found it strange when they were getting so badly beaten around the ball in the last quarter that for an extended period of time, Goddard and Watson were both off the ground at the same time. I would have thought they needed at least one of those boys out there in and around the footy, because that, for me, was a really key area in the last quarter. So, look, I know players are required to have rest, and sometimes it can overlap, but just I thought that was perhaps, in hindsight, of course, just one area. If they could have kept a bit more structure around the footy and some bigger bodies, it might have been helpful in that last quarter, because they just couldn't wrestle back momentum at any stage.
Being down near the interchange bench, was it like the Geelong Giants game where the ball was just stuck on the other side and they couldn't make the change?
Not from what I could see, because often you see the players are standing for quite an extended period of time. In saying that, the bench is quite close to the interchange line, so I just think that was their rest, and they were to have that rest so that they could finish off the game really strongly. Now, that's okay, but it was the period before then that really cost the guys, because that was the Brisbane, I think, from the 5-minute mark to the 5-minute, got a real run on and kicked 4 or 5 goals.
Now, let's look ahead to the Collingwood game. It's a huge game. What do you expect from Collingwood? It seems like Collingwood lose the same way every week. They have a crack, they've got a good midfield, and they don't use the footy. So what's the key to beating Collingwood?
Well, I'm as equally unsure as what to expect from the Bombers, to be honest. Look, Collingwood, having seen them live a few times this year, it really does look like their midfield, good numbers, have a real crack. Ball use can hurt them. And also their front half. I mean, you look at the teams, they're still getting inside 50s. So it's not as though the ball doesn't get in there, but time and time again, and I guess Hawthorn are the best example of a team that if they only got 40, 45 inside 50s, they could still kick a big score because of the class in their front half. Quite simply, Collingwood don't have that class in the front half, I don't think, mainly because Elliott's missed a huge chunk of footy. Darcy Moore still losing his craft. It's a lot to expect from a young, tall forward to have an impact week in, week out, because it's a tough competition. It's only got harder to kick goals regularly. But in saying that, the Bombers have got a lot to work on, so they'll be looking at how their midfield sets up and that they can win enough ball against a pretty good Collingwood midfield. What I think is the Bombers, and I felt their forwards still looked very dangerous on the weekend for the Bombers. They just, even though there was a lot of ball in there, there wasn't a lot of great ball, I didn't think.
Yep.
So I felt when they got reasonable opportunities individually, they took their marks and they converted those. It was just that last kick. The Bombers will be certainly focusing on this week, the last kick in and how they defend the first kick out.
Pendlebury is still the main man for Collingwood. And I think Anzac Day, it was more Goddard went to him and did a really good job. And Goddard was clearly Essendon's best player the other day again. Yeah. Would you expect a similar sort of role on Pendlebury this week?
Well, I would think it would make sense that he goes at least, and it's worked well, go to the big body at the stoppage. And you don't necessarily have to play on him during transition and so forth, but at least at the stoppage. If the coalface is where Pendlebury's so good in tight, and Grundy's had an exceptional year, look to limit that, certainly. But it's an interesting question, one we've raised when you mentioned Goddard going to Pendlebury. I think Essendon really, not only but this year, but for next year, and you need to find a run-with player. Yeah. I mean, we spoke about going into the Brisbane game, Zorko. I think he had 5 disposals against the Giants. Mm. Now, the Giants are a team that won that game by 14 goals, but they were prepared to put a run-with on to Zorko and have a look at him. Sam Reed did that job. So Zorko has 30 and kicks 2. You take him out of the game against Essendon, can they win? Perhaps
probably
not.
Not without Beams there.
No. Mm. So then you've got Beams out, and we've just seen time and time again, and I think it'll be really significant. And I think Essendon, now they're 2 behind the ledger, will find it hard to make the finals. Mm. But for the team in the finals, and that's what you aspire to, having a good tagger is going to be really important in September, I feel.
You think Langford could be that player?
Yeah, I do. I'd like to see, and it's not necessarily the first choice, but often we've seen players who have become good at it or do it for a period of time that you wouldn't normally expect, or it becomes a real learning tool for them, that they start to see the work rate or the running patterns of the opposition's best or most dangerous mid, and you learn a lot from that. I think Jared McVeigh did it early on in his career, and I think Daniel Howe's been a good example. He was a halfback flanker, intercept marker, good kick, who went and did the job on Rory Sloane. Now, I don't think many of us would have expected that, but it was so pivotal into that result a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to see that happen from here on in.
And just finally, how hot's this game going to be? I mean, Collingwood's a big club under pressure. Hmm. They still think they can make the finals. It's probably not going to happen. Yeah. And the margin for error now for Essendon is pretty small. Yeah. So it should be everything on the line from the first bounce.
Well, and the nature of the games for all teams this year is they're your finals hopes hinge on every week because the teams in and around haven't nailed their spot inside. So 2 games out now, you can't afford, if 8th, I think the Dogs or St Kilda win again, and you're 3 games out with 6 or 7 to go, you're not going to make it. There's no chance. So they must win. And Collingwood must win for obvious reasons. There are, I think, 5 wins, so a win behind the Bombers, but also their coach is under a lot of pressure. So there'll be a bit of emotion and build up to that game as well.
Now, we're talking about the midfield, and coming up is one of the great midfielders that you played with, Scotty, during the 90s and 2000s. A very popular player around Windy Hill. That is Joe Massetti. He'll join us very shortly.
Massetti good. Solomon back to Smoke and Joe. Smoke and Joe from 50. Lines it up. It's close. He's done it. Smoke and Joe. A knockout.
Well, Bomber fans, one of the most popular and consistent players during the 90s and early 2000s was this man, Joe Massetti. 236 games, a couple of premierships along the way. First of all, welcome, Joey.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for having
me. What are you doing these days? But Massetti Logistics, tell us about that.
Got a transport company based out in Sunshine, mate. So we move anything from one box to full semi-trailer loads all around Australia, mate. So all going okay. Keeps me busy. It's a good little business I've got into.
2004. It's a long time since you retired. Does it feel that long?
Yeah, and even more so, mate. Yeah. So it does feel like a long time ago, especially watching these kids run around nowadays. And the boys asked me, is there still someone at Essendon you played footy with? And I don't think there is besides Joe, and maybe a little bit of Stance too. But other than that, mate, yeah, getting very old, mate, very old.
Now, contact details.
You look very serious there, Scott.
Serious question, Joe. Massetti Logistics, how do we get in contact with you?
Oh, that's a good question, Scott.
I wanted to give you the door for you, Joe. You can walk straight in.
You can email us at transport@massettilogistics, M-I-S-I-T-I Logistics in one word. Or give us a call, 9312-3023. I appreciate the leading, Scotty. You're a good man.
Now, before we get on to your illustrious career, keep an eye on the Bombers at the minute?
I do, mate. Yeah, I always keep an interest. Obviously, I had a fair interest there for 14 or 15 years. Mm. So, me and my young fellow was over the back there. We try and go to as many games as we can. But, as you know, with young kids, it's very hard to squeeze a game in. But I do like them. I do watch them. I don't like what they did on the weekend or the weekend before. But yeah, I do obviously keep an interest.
Good.
So you're saying, going back to the start of your career, it could have ended before it started, couldn't it? Under 19 sort of folded and they just kept you hanging around.
Yeah, good question. You boys have done your homework, haven't you? Yeah, I played 19s as a 15-year-old. And when I came that year, the next year I was 16-year-old, and after that year, that's the year they folded them, and the new under-18 competition came in. And I was a little bit lazy, a little bit overweight,